Well, two things. I thought the young people were going to be in here, and so I thought I'd just preach a Charlie Brown Christmas, but I'm really not going to, but I did have a text that's from the King James Version. You remember in Charlie Brown's Christmas, they read from Luke chapter 2, which is where we're going to be, and I'll read that in just a minute. But they read it from the King James Version, so I want to read that version for you, although I'll use the NIV as we kind of preach through. I want to say something about that song right there. If you can't hear that song without feeling chills, you need to work on that, because that is such an awesome song. And I've told you this before, but when I lived in Auburn out in California, I saw a license plate, you know, one of those personalized license plates, and it first confused me because I looked at it and I thought, what in the world are they saying? You know, sometimes license plates are like that. They put something on there and you don't quite know what they mean, you know. But this one, after you look at it long enough, you kind of realize what it said, and it just was letters, you know, were letters. N was the first one, X, L, C, S-D-O. Seven letters. In excelsis Deo. And I looked at that for a long time. I thought, what in the world is that? And then it dawned on me. And I thought, God bless that person for that. Anyway, we're in Luke chapter 2. And I don't know exactly where this is in Charlie Brown's Christmas. I would probably give you a homework assignment sometime this Christmas season. When you get your families together or just by yourself on the couch, turn on the TV and find Charlie Brown's Christmas and watch that. It's not very long. You know, it's still pretty precious, so you might want to watch that. Anyway, so whoever sang it, I think it was Lucy, wasn't it? Anybody remember? Yeah, Lucy, we're getting a few nods. But at any rate, here it is. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So that's the Charlie Brown Christmas text, but it's such a wonderful text and such a great message and so good for us as we get ready for Christmas to be reminded of the shepherds and what they said. And we titled this lesson, as you can see, Let Us Go to Bethlehem. That's the NIV. Let us go to Bethlehem after they saw the angel and then the multitude of angels. Let's go to Bethlehem. And they went and found out that what they had been told was true. But as they did, the angel was given in presence then with a host of angels. And I want you to notice these different words. There's just a handful of words I want to share with you today, and just think about the words. The first one is the word suddenly. And that's found in verse 13. Suddenly, a great company or a host of the heavenly angels, of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God. And then, of course, they're the ones that say all these things. Sometimes we think they sang those things because our songs tell us they sang those things. And they might have, because angels, you may not know this or not, but angels are prone to sing. You know, I don't really know that either, but surely, I mean, they're coming from heaven, they're going to do some singing. But the word here suddenly might also be translated unexpected. Here they are out in the middle of nowhere at night, the shepherds, and the 7-Elevens, this is before they became 24-hour, were already closed. You know, 7-Eleven was named 7-Eleven because they open at 7 a.m. and they close at 11 p.m. Did you know that? That's why they were called 7-Eleven. But then, of course, they were up all night, open all night. Well, this is before they were open all night. And so the shepherds were out there all by themselves in the middle of the night. All the 7-Elevens are closed, and the angels suddenly appear. They're just going about their business out there with the shepherds and with the sheep, and everything happens at once. It's kind of like waking up in the morning with snow on the ground when you weren't close to the radios or the TVs, and you didn't know that it was going to snow, and you wake up the next morning, and suddenly it snowed last night, you know. And it's the same thing with the coming of this angel and these angels, the host of angels, that it happened suddenly. God promises things to the Jews he would send his Messiah, and there's been a long silent period, and we know about this, we've talked about it, where it seems like God has forgotten his promise. I mean, 400 something years have passed. Where are you, God? Where's our Messiah? This is the answer, and I think one of the reasons why Luke says suddenly, it just comes. And there's no warning from God that this is what he's going to do, and he sends his son at just the right time. Haven't we studied that before? There's several places in the Bible that tell us, Galatians 4 is one of them, at just the right time that God sent his son. And so that's what the angels are predicting for us, or telling us, and what Luke is telling us, that they just appeared suddenly. And just here they are now. The sudden appearance of a lot of angels is pretty amazing. And my translation says a great company. Again, the old King James, a host. The Bible talks so much about angels. There's one place, really more than one, which talks about angels appearing. And it says 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels. Now, that's a lot of angels. I'm not sure if 10,000s of, and then 10,000s of those 10,000. So you would take every one of the 10,000 and multiply them by 10,000 and add all that together, and it becomes, who knows, zillions of angels, and that God has at his disposal. Another place calls the angels in here too, a host of angels, an awful lot of hosts. And of course, the disciples, the shepherds were afraid. When the one angel came, that's back up in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, who wouldn't be when the angels appear? We would be terrified, because here is a being from another place. He's come to us from heaven, which is way beyond our comprehension. And this angel has appeared before these shepherds, and they do what we would have done. They're terrified. We're kind of like John, too, in Revelation 22, when the angel appeared before John. You remember what John did? He fell down and worshiped the angel. And the angel accepted the worship, right? No. The angel said, stand up. Don't worship me, because I'm just a being like you. I am just, I'm here to serve the Lord. And I'm a fellow servant like you. Angels are awesome, but they're servants of God. And so that's what we see here. The angels have come in service to God to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. And they've just appeared suddenly because Jesus was born that day. If you were to go back and read the first part of chapter 2, we learn Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem from Nazareth because of a decree from Augustus. And they had to rent a place, and he was born in a manger. And all of that takes place just before the angel appears before the shepherds. And so the shepherds are just hearing that the birth of Jesus Christ has just happened. Just briefly, I'd like to share some verses. As of lately, I've spent some time in Isaiah. We've preached through some pieces here and there in Isaiah. But I want you to see that three times, remember, this is God speaking in chapter 40 through 66, and in 42 and verse 9, God says, "New things I declare. Before they spring into being," that's the word I want, the phrase I want you to see. "Before they spring into being, just suddenly happen, I am telling you these things. I'm announcing them to you." This word springing into being is from a Hebrew word that's used about plants that suddenly come up, you know, and the idea of them just appearing and springing up. Well, that's what the angels have done. They've just suddenly appeared to announce that Jesus has just been born. This is it. This is what God has been pointing for, and this is what he's done so that we might, as God's people, spring up into being. Here's another one, Isaiah 43. So 42:9 and now 43:19. And he speaks in this time as if it's already happened. You know, don't get confused, because sometimes Old Testament prophecy projects itself to the future and then talks about it as if it's happening right then, even though it's not happening. It's predicted, but then we're at that point listening to it happening as if we're there. And so God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Don't you see, he's saying, don't you see it? I'm doing a new thing. Not will do, but I'm doing it. And so it puts us there. It puts us here, right in Luke 2. I'm doing it right here. And that's bringing the Savior to the world. And then finally, Isaiah 44. So 42, 43, 44, God uses the same kind of terminology. He says he'll pour out his Holy Spirit upon all people. And that's us, by the way. That's not just the Jewish people. That's the people of the world. He's pouring his Spirit out onto all people, and they will spring up like grass. And so that's, of course, the new birth and the coming alive in Jesus Christ. It's kind of like, he goes on to say, God says, like poplar trees that are flowing by the springs. I think more of cottonwood trees here in Texas. You know, if you're out in the middle of a arid place and you're looking for water, all you got to do is look for a cottonwood tree, because they grow right near the water. And he says, that's what's going to happen when my Spirit is poured out on you. It's going to be like you've all been living by your cottonwood trees that have been living by a stream. You're just going to pop up. Whatever the angels had to say or sing, it was pretty amazing. And so here are some words I would like to share also. And the first one is the word glory. Glory to God in the highest. Glory. I think we know what glory is, but it's really, I found, maybe you can, really hard to define. I mean, I know what it is, the glory of God. It's just like this immense something that you can't even put your head around, you know, and understand what exactly it is. But it is, God is so high and exalted. He's so amazing. He's so wonderful. He's so worthy of our praise. That's what the word glory means. But the word glory also comes from this idea of being seen, and it's by light. And I noticed right here in this text, while I was wrestling with this, what glory was, verse 9, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them," and now notice the next line, "and the glory of the Lord appeared to them, shone around them." It's as if, You know, when they came, everything lit up. And so you're in the middle of the night, it is dark, and this one angel appears. He brings with him the glory of heaven, and it's light. And light is everywhere, and shining and bright. And that's the angel, and that's the glory of God. Verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And then I think about when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah showed up, you know? What happened? The light of heaven. Suddenly, the disciples saw Jesus with Elijah and Moses, and it was light. They were bright. Their faces shone. And so, of course, the idea of glory. And again, that's heaven. When Jesus died and was raised again, the women went to the tomb in Luke chapter 24, and they saw two men, two angels actually, sitting on the tomb, and the Bible says they shone like lightning. You know, and we've all been in a house, maybe even sleeping. You ever been awakened by the lightning, not the thunder? Yeah, the bright light suddenly. And that's what these angels were. That's the glory of God. And so they say, glory. Whatever's going to happen through Jesus Christ, listen and hold on to this and put this in your heart as faith. That is God taking place for all of us. That is the glory of God shining into us for salvation. The giving of Jesus Christ is to the glory of God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. It is to the glory of God. And you, all the things we've studied about Jesus and his death on the cross and how it paid for us. He swapped us for him. I'll die for sin so that you don't have to. And that's to the glory of God. You know, God could have created us and Satan came in and muddled it all up for us. And he just said, you know, kind of like we could take a piece of paper and just kind of wad it up and throw it away. I've lost them. But that's not God. God doesn't want to lose any of us. And so he sends his son, and that is to the glory of God. That's why the angels started out with the word glory. Glory to God. What I'm about to tell you is glorious. And so then they say the next word, and that is peace. On earth, peace. And a peace, of course, we know peace, but it's not world peace. He's not talking world peace. Some people make mistakes there. Yeah, there is world peace because there is peace. The more Christians you get in the world, the less likely there will be turmoil in the world because we have peace with God. We have peace in our heart. That's what he means there. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace. We don't have that guilt. We don't have that turmoil in our life. We don't have that fear of dying. We have peace. And no matter what happens to us, on this earth, we can be at peace. And so it's really inner peace they're talking about. And it's also peace between each one of us and God. That's what the Bible teaches us too. The forgiveness of sins, there's no barrier between us and God. We're in harmony with God. That's what they're saying. With Jesus Christ, to God's glory, peace is being brought to the earth through this little baby that's being born. I ran across some sayings. I really wish McGinty were here still. You remember Paul McGinty? Because these are Irish sayings, and I wish I could say it in Irish, but I would really mess it up, so I won't do that. I'll just say it in plain old English. But wished I could have gotten him to record it or somebody else. Here's one of them. May your pockets be heavy and your heart be light. May luck pursue you each morning and night. That's a nice one. I like that. Here's another one. May the roof above us never fall in. And may the friends gathered below never fall out. I like that one too. And then this one. May you have food and raiment, a soft pillow for your head, and may you be 40 years in heaven before the devil knows you're dead. That's my favorite of all of those. But then in Numbers chapter 6, there's another one, almost could be in an Irish tone. So listen to it, though. This is what God, through Moses, told the priests, Levites, the priests. Here's what I want you to say to the people. And this is a blessing. And so God gave us a blessing in the Old Testament that the Bible's here, you know, peace on earth and peace to all of us. So here it is, and you'll remember it. You've heard it before. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Isn't that nice? That's a saying. That is a blessing from the priest, that the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and of course give you peace. And so there's the word peace. And it, through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through the shedding of his blood and the forgiveness of our sins and through all the hope that we have in eternal life through Jesus Christ. And here's the other word, and that's the word favor. I'm not really crazy about the New International way it phrases it. It says, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. To those on whom his favor rests. I'm not really all that thrilled about the New International rendering of that word. Do you know why? To them upon whom his favor rests, to me, applies that there may be others that it doesn't rest on. To them upon whom his favor rests, to those whom his favor rests. I just like the other one. I like the old King James. Let me go back to it. Let me find it again. Glory to God of the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men, toward everybody. And that's really what he's saying there. And so that's why I kind of made a big deal out of that. I thought, you know, that's not exactly the way it should be put, because maybe you never would have gotten it that wrong. Maybe it was just me. I'm kind of crazy on some of those kind of things. But I love the idea, though, on whom his favor rests, goodwill toward men is what I like also from the King James Version. When I read that the first time, I thought, well, the word favor is generally also translated grace, but this isn't grace. This isn't the word charis, where we get charisma and those kinds of things, which is grace. That's the word for grace in the New Testament. This word is favor. Favor in the sense that to think well of and to approve of, which it sort of has the grace idea in it, but it is glory to God because he's given us peace and he looks to us with approval, and he thinks well of us. And that's what the angels are saying. Through Jesus Christ, of course, God sent Jesus Christ because he did love us and think well of us. But again, the angels say, glory to God for this peace on earth and this favor that God now rests upon us. It rests upon us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. His changing plan has always been to adopt us. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. God's unchanging plan since the Garden of Eden, since the fall, ever since we spread out across the earth and became a peoples of many nations, all from Adam and Eve and of course Noah and his family as it narrowed down at the flood. But we are his people, and God has never changed his plan. He has never changed his plan to adopt us into his own family. He could not do that until Jesus Christ. And then he adopted us into his family. We are children of God. And he says he adopted us by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him, here's the favor, this gave him great pleasure. When Jesus died on the cross, of course, God felt the loss of his son. But he also felt the pleasure of the salvation of all of us in this room and everybody around who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. Put their faith in Jesus Christ and believe that God sent him to die on the cross is what the Bible teaches. That's what we need, is just that faith. We follow through as an act of faith then, being baptized and doing those kinds of things that we teach and that we ought to follow through with. But it's by faith. There are many people that God has been caused to have great pleasure because of Jesus Christ. That's what the angels are talking about here. And so, of course, the shepherds say, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see about this. And they went and they were impressed. And what they were told by the angels, you will find him by the angel. You will find him in swaddling clothes. The King James, I love that. He'll be in a manger. And they go and they find that and they noise it abroad and tell everybody else. And so this week we're going to be going to Bethlehem. We're going to be going to Santa Claus too, because that's a fun thing for our kids. And a wonderful part of our holiday. But also we're going to be going to Jesus Christ, and we're going to hear what the angels, be reminded of what the angels said here. Remember the birth of Jesus as you open up presents, as you visit with your families, as you have a great little Christmas. And we pray that, I pray and hope that everything will go well with your family. Let me just close reading another part of this text, and then we'll close. I'm going to get the Charlie Brown Christmas out again and read that little text from the King James Version. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of year, and we know any time of year we could think of these things and be touched. But we thank you for Christmas, a time to especially think about the birth of Jesus Christ, to hear stories like this one about the angels and about the shepherds and about Jesus in a manger. Thank you, God, for this special story. It's a true story of your salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Watch over us now. Be with us and our families. Keep us safe this week. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.